We invite you to visit Maserati Jacksonville today for a personalized luxury driving experience like no other. Plus, for a limited time, take advantage of our historically low interest rates. Visit online at MaseratiJacksonville.com.
Celebrating 15 years under the Friday Night Lights, this is the Friday Night Lights postgame on 1010XL, presented by Southeast Orthopedic Specialists.
Friday Night Lights.
Now it's time to break it all down. Here are your hosts, Hacker and Andrew Gibson.
And a very good Friday evening to you, Jacksonville. What a game we just heard on 92.5 FM. Bishop Kenny in overtime beats Live Oak Swanee, a huge district win for Bishop Kenny. They keep their playoff hopes alive. As it is the Friday Night Lights postgame, we are presented by Southeast Orthopedic Specialists with Andrew Gibson. The Hacker Ryan Green with you. Most games around the area have gone final. We're starting a little later than normal because Bishop Kenny did go to overtime. Here is what the scoreboard looks like. Congratulations to Sandalwood. 30-0 over Mandarin. A big win for the Sandalwood Saints there in District 8A. Englewood, a 36-0 winner tonight over Fernandina Beach. It was Lafayette, 51-0 over Stanton. The Terry Parker Braves, a winner tonight over University Christian, 28-14. How about Westside? Head coach Rodney DeBose and Westside getting the winner's circle tonight, 28-23. They are winners over Orange Park. Other finals that have rolled in, a district championship for the Fletcher Senators and head coach Seatric Faison, 44-14 winners. Fletcher is over First Coast, and that means a district title for Fletcher, a district title basically for Baker County tonight. It's not official, but it's all but official. Baker over Ed White, 36-16. As I welcome in Andrew Gibson under the Friday Night Lights, Gibby, a district title for Fletcher, a district title essentially for Baker County, two gigantic wins for them tonight.
Yeah, well, first of all, congratulations to both involved, and what a terrific job. We spoke earlier on the pregame about Seatric Faison and really what he's been able to do. Remember, they started 0-3, and now they've won five games in a row to win a district championship. An unbelievable turnaround for him in his first year as the head coach at his alma mater.
It is a great turnaround and a district championship for Fletcher. St. Augustine winners tonight, 37-21. Over Matanzas as head coach Brian Braddock and the Yellow Jackets continue their winning ways. Riverside has gone final. They beat Trinity Christian tonight. O.J. Small and Riverside, a 28-20 winner over Trinity Christian. Big win for Riverside right there as they get back in the winner's circle. Clay, 23-21 over Middleburg in a battle of Clay County. That sets up a big game next week between Clay and North Marion, which will basically be for a district title there. That's because North Marion beats Menendez tonight, Gibby, 17-10. Again, big games all over the area. When you get into mid to late October, it's about district championships. It's about playoff positioning, and you're seeing a lot of that tonight.
Yeah, I want to go back to the game you mentioned a second ago, 28-20 Riverside over Trinity Christian. I was talking with Denny Thompson earlier today on the Frangie Show about that matchup. He estimated as many as 12 Division I prospects in that game on that field tonight at Trinity for Riverside Trinity Christian. A ton of talent coming from that game.
There is no question about it. We're going to get Victoria's head coaches on here in one moment. Hilliard, 28-21 over Trenton. How about the Red Flashes of Hilliard? Undefeated on the year. We know a game going on 1010 AM right now between Gainesville Buholtz and Bowles. Last score we had was 14-7. Buholtz, Bowles undefeated. As of right now, if Bowles were to go down, that would essentially leave Hilliard as the last remaining undefeated team within an hour or so of our listening area. I believe Keystone Heights as well is undefeated if you want to go a little bit outside the listening area. But a big win for the Red Flashes tonight.
Yeah, Keystone Heights coming into tonight was 7-0, but that's around Gainesville. Thinking about the Bowles Bulldogs and talking with Tony earlier tonight, this game tonight we knew going in was going to be one of the biggest tests that Bowles has had. Now, look, Bowles has played Lake City Columbia. They've played St. Augustine, UC, Trinity. They've played some good teams this year. But stepping up and playing against Buholtz is a pretty good test as well. And Tony said, yeah, this will be their best test the remainder of the season, and they're in a very much of a battle right now in the fourth quarter.
We talked to Victoria's head coaches under the Friday Night Lights. It's what we've done for the last 15 years, and let's kick it off tonight on 1010XL by going to Westside. Head coach Rodney DeBose and Westside, they are winners 28-23 over Orange Park. Coach DeBose joins us under the Friday Night Lights. Coach, congratulations.
Hey, man. Thank you.
Coach, big win. Well, no, we got your number. There's no question about it. You know you're one of our favorites. Obviously a tough year for you guys, which is why I'm sure tonight meant maybe a little more, winning a close game like that over Orange Park in the fourth quarter.
It definitely did. They got out to a 13-0 start at the half, and we kind of finally woke up and turned it on. Tough game. They played it to the end. Defense kind of bailed me out. We took a shot and gave them the ball back with a chance to come back with about a minute and 20, and our defense carried us through. So proud of our kids. We're a very young team, as I said. I talked to you months ago. I said, we're young, and if we can be good now, we'll be good for a minute. But it's been a struggle. So we're learning. We're gaining experience. And hopefully we can I don't say we turned the corner, but at least we're at the corner.
Hey, Coach, it's Andrew. Congratulations on this win tonight. First win for you guys since late August against a very good Andrew Jackson team. Maybe what have you learned about your football team throughout these last few weeks?
Just, like I said, acknowledging and understanding how important experience is. I was sitting there looking at our roster the other day, and I got about 13 seniors, and I think I have three of them who've played more than 2 years of football.
Wow.
And so, that's no excuse. You line up and play. And what I told our kids was, we don't need you to be leaders. We need you to be followers. And at the end of the day, every great leader was a follower who somebody just got out of the way. So hopefully, we bought into just doing what we're coached to do or what we're asked to do and trying to do it the best we can do every play. And if we write more than others, then we'll come out with the dub. So.
Rodney DeBose of Westside. Coach, you know this as we begin to wrap up. I mean, maybe this is a game when we're talking to you next year, we look back and say, yeah, things really started to turn in that victory over Orange Park in late October. I mean, a game like this, I think you can really build on.
Absolutely, no doubt. Obviously, it's a district game for us, and Orange Park, is playing solid football, and they're right up the street. We're close to each other, so there's a little bit of a geographical potential rivalry, but they just play good football. Everybody knows Coach Matt. Coach Matt does a great job getting the team prepared and scoring points and finding a way. And, it was big for us. And I think the biggest thing we did tonight was we played together. Everybody knows Mr. Antoine McCray. He didn't play into the second half. But, boy, when he got in there, boy, the lights lit up. So he's a special talent. Jordan Hall is a special talent. Had Coach Muschamp here on the sideline a little bit. So that might have got him sparked up a little bit, too. So. It's been a good day here at the West. It was homecoming and, great day for our school. And, I have a better weekend than I've had the last five. So it's going to be all right.
Rodney DeBose of Westside, winners tonight, 28-23 over Orange Park. Congratulations, Coach.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. You guys know I love what you do for high school football, man.
We go from the West Side to the South Side to Englewood High School. Coach Zach Harbison of Englewood, they are winners again tonight over Fernandina Beach. Coach Harbison joins us under the Friday Night Lights. Coach, congratulations.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Coach, 2 weeks in a row, dominating performance last week, another dominating performance tonight. You beat a solid Fernandina Beach team. You must be pretty happy with the way things have transpired over the last two Fridays.
Yeah, like Rodney said at the end, I'm gonna have a little better weekend now that we won two in a row. Really, really excited for our kids. They've worked so hard over the last year and a half, 2 years, and it's nice to kind of see some wins start piling up for them.
Coach, congratulations on the win tonight. What's been clicking for you guys in the last few wins that you've had?
I think the big thing is that they're kind of buying into each other. They've been really, really good teammates each week in practice and throughout the night. Obviously, our defense has been lights out. And offensively, we got some guys outside that are tough to guard, and we've been able to get them the ball in space. So that's what's been working on that side as well.
We talked about this last week, kind of rebuilding a Duval County public school, and I think you're doing a terrific job there. We know the challenges of doing that, but winning becomes a mindset, and the fact is the last two Friday nights you guys not only have won games, but you've kind of put it on a couple of teams. That's got to build the confidence moving forward.
for sure, you can see it tonight. Our guys played with that confidence that you're talking about, and they expect to win because they work, not because they think they're better than everybody else, but they work really, really hard. We have a pretty good – I love the staff we have over here. All of our guys are bought in. They're here every day, and they bust their butt for these kids. And when they see the staff that does that for them, they're going to play harder. But like you said, it's tough. It's tough to rebuild here. You just got to keep kids. Everybody loses kids. So our goal is to kind of – hopefully we can stack some wins together to finish the season and then and build and head into the spring and the next fall.
Coach Harbison over at Englewood, they are winners tonight over Fernandina Beach. Congratulations, Coach.
Thank you. Have a great night, guys.
Englewood, big win over Fernandina. A couple games have gone final since our last scoreboard update. The biggest one, Fleming Island, 21-12 over Atlantic Coast. You know, the playoffs don't really begin until November, obviously. But I think a game like that, that was probably a playoff game tonight. Fleming Island and Atlantic Coast both holding on for a chance at a wild card spot, if you will, an at-large spot. Fleming with that win tonight, I think they still have some hope in the postseason. Certainly a big win for Fleming over the Stingrays tonight.
Yeah, no question about it. I thought, you know, as we were talking earlier on the pregame show, really an excellent clash between Fleming Island and Atlantic Coast. I mean, both teams came into play tonight with four wins. Damian Springs has also done a terrific job over there at Fleming Island.
All right, now I know what he's going to say. It's not official yet because a couple of things could happen here and there, but a huge step for Baker County in winning a district championship tonight. They beat Ed White 36-16. Kevin Mays of Baker County, always kind enough to join us under the Friday Night Lights. Coach, congratulations.
Hey, it is official.
It is official.
Bishop Kenny beat Swanee, so that would give Swanee two losses, and that put us in the driver's seat.
All right, perfect. Because Bishop Kenny won, you won, so you are district champions. One even bigger. Congratulations.
Yep,
the Ed White team you face is a very good team, Coach. I know they did some trickery on you guys. They kind of let it all hang out there, but you guys were able to pull away in the second half.
Yeah, we again, you know, we're kind of clicking right now. We played good in all three phases, and, you know, we went in pretty close, close game at halftime, and I challenged the defense not to let them score, and they really stepped up to it. We had a couple big interception returns, and I'm really proud of my guys. It was an exciting game. You guys were talking about playoff games. It felt like it tonight.
Yeah, that's what I was going to go to next, Coach. Congratulations. This was a 5-1 Ed White team against you guys, 5-2, both playing well in the district. But what was the atmosphere like there at Baker County tonight?
It was rocking tonight. I mean, our fan and fans are great, and you know, you get our band and everybody out there supporting us, and it was electric tonight. And when we did some big things, you heard it, and our fans get behind us and make it hard on the other team to do anything. So, you know, I appreciate all everyone out there that does, you know, comes up to the games and support us. But you know, if you haven't been to a game at Baker County, you should come. It's a neat experience.
Now, you obviously are used to winning at both stops in your coaching career. Baker County's had a lot of success out there over the years. But I would imagine every time a district championship happens, you'll probably take a moment, whether tonight and tomorrow, and just kind of think about the season that's been. What a ride for you guys this year. Obviously, a success being district champion. I know you want more in the postseason, but certainly it's been a very good year to this point.
It has, and, you know, we talk about our goals here as a team, and district champs is the first one, so we can check that box. You know, we know that we're going to be in the playoffs, and, you know, obviously we talked about last time we talked about the playoffs. You know, it's a different season at that point. We all kind of start over, but we did. We kind of sat around on the field and listened to the overtime call out there at Swanee, and the kids knew it as soon as they missed the field goal. They knew we were district champs, and, you know, we're proud of them, and they were excited. It was just a fun moment out there tonight.
Well, Coach, that's fantastic. Congratulations, Baker County district champions, a 36-16 winner tonight over Ed White. Coach, go celebrate.
Oh, we're going to do that. I appreciate it.
Kevin Mays of Baker County. By the way, Tim Krause of Bishop Kenny, they're celebrating right now. He's coming up in 60 seconds. Gibby, correct me if I'm wrong. Final in an 8A. Bartram Trail, a 49-33 winner over Oakleaf. That means Bartram Trail is a district champion, I believe, because they would have the tiebreaker over Creekside. They're undefeated in district play, so I believe Bartram is raising a district championship flag tonight as well.
Yeah, 49-33 is the final score we have, Bartram Trail over Oakleaf, and what a terrific job. Once again, Darryl Sutherland, we've talked about the defense, we've talked about their special teams, They have really put it all together.
Complete scoreboard update coming up in just a moment. But what a game you heard right here on 92.5 FM. Bishop Kenny in overtime over Live Oak Suwanee, 31-28. Tim Krause of Bishop Kenny joins us under the Friday Night Lights. Coach, congratulations.
Thank you, guys.
Coach, what a win. What an overtime victory. Came down to a field goal at the very end. Boy, big win for you guys to end the home stretch.
No doubt. We've been involved the last 2 weeks in two really great high school football games, and tonight was awesome. It was so much fun, I think, for the kids, obviously, to finish out and get a W. But just the atmosphere, we had senior night festivities beforehand, and just to watch our kids that have grown and matured in our program, put themselves in a position to win a big game like that was really special for our coaches.
Coach Krause, it's Andrew. Really appreciate you joining us tonight. Congratulations. How special was this kind of game to win in an overtime game by a field goal for those, I believe, 17 seniors that you had? How special was that tonight?
Yeah, it's hard to put into words, you know, what those kids mean to me. And, every coach has, special classes or special groups of kids. And this one, as I said on here before, stuck it out with us, worked, bought into the things that we were asking to do. And, I just felt like down the stretch, this was our time to be on the right side of one of these. And obviously the last 2 years you've been with us and seen we've been on the wrong side of these too many times. So for our kids to continue to come back and fight and have earned the right to be really confident in those situations, I think is really special. And really, really special night for me, for our staff, just to see what those kids have turned into and developed. And just love each and every one of them. Just so proud of them.
Coach, at 5-2, they were talking about it on the broadcast as they were wrapping up. Will you guys start looking at computers and analytics and rankings, or are you about beating Paxson, beating Episcopal, and seeing where the chips fall?
Yeah, I mean, to say that we wouldn't look at it, I think would be a lie. Obviously, we'll take a look and see what's going on, but at the end of the day, none of that really is in our control. So, we got to play good football here down the stretch the next 2 weeks and, see what happens. I think we've done a good job of putting ourselves in a position to qualify for the playoffs if we play well the next 2 weeks, and that's all you can ask for. Coach Mays obviously does a great job. Bates County, congratulations to those guys. And Coach Johnson's done a great job at Ed White as well. So last couple weeks, we played some really good football teams, and it's been fun and exciting. And like I said, our kids have put themselves in that position, and we'll be excited to get back to work this weekend and Monday.
Well, and you mentioned that position. You're exactly right. I mean, obviously last year did not go the way you wanted it, but now you are talking about the postseason. There is a chance at the end of October that you still could play postseason football, which was a far cry from where you were 365 days ago. That alone means and just shows the improvement in your program in a one-year stretch.
Yeah, it's been, anytime you look at something like that, it doesn't happen overnight. It's been our kids being dedicated to the game of football, to the things that our coaches were asking them. And just to see the flip in culture is a part that's been really fun for me. I think our group is incredibly connected, incredibly well-led. They love each other. You can tell that shines through in the way that they play the game, in the way that they celebrate with each other tonight, and the way they responded to adversity at different points in the game. So, really, really proud of my coaching staff. I've got a good group of men that work with our kids. And just like I said, so incredibly proud of this group of seniors in particular for the things that they've gone through. We always talk about football teaching you life lessons. I don't think there's any better life lesson than what these kids have gone through, that you get kicked around for a little bit and you struggle and you keep getting back up and keep buying into what people are telling you to do and asking of you. And I felt like they deserve to be rewarded, and they've earned that right, and just really proud of them for this one and for everything they've done for us, for our program.
Tim Krause of Bishop Kenny, winners tonight, 31-28 over Live Oak Suwanee in overtime. Coach, congratulations.
Thank you, guys. Thanks so much.
Gibby, you called those games for the last, 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. What a win tonight for Bishop Kenny.
Yeah, and like you said, the turnaround from last year where I think they were 1-9 last year, I believe, was the record. And, it's an incredible turnaround by Coach Krause and their staff. And, I think they found themselves a quarterback, this James Reeser, that's the quarterback now for Bishop Kenny. He was a freshman last year. Yeah, I believe he's a sophomore now. That kid can really play football. The defense really stepped up tonight, so – a terrific turnaround for BK.
Kyle Kennard of Clay County, 2 minutes away. Before we get to Clay, let's head to St. John's County, to St. Augustine. Brian Braddock, they are winners tonight, 37-21 over Matanzas. Coach always kind enough to join us under the Friday Night Lights. Coach Braddock, how we doing?
Doing good, doing good. How are you guys?
Coach, we are wonderful. Congratulations on the win tonight, 37-21 over a Matanzas team. Obviously, it was a battle, but you guys were able to pull it out there in the second half.
Yeah, we kind of same story as our last game. We played Nice. We gave up 14 points really quick. And, you know, fortunately, then kind of went on a run of, you know, 37-7 or something like that. And started playing, you know, doing some basic things better and just played fundamental football. And we're fortunate to get a third district win.
Coach, who performed well on that field for you tonight?
Devontae Lyons, our tailback, had another great night. Our offensive line did a tremendous job. Our quarterback, Trevon Durden, did a nice job and played really well. We had a tough time catching the ball, so his stats maybe didn't show it, but did some really good things and ran the ball well. And Mark Brown had a really nice game on defense, had a big sack, and did some good things.
Coach, we know the playoffs don't start till November, but now that the Matanzas game is in the rearview mirror, you get the win tonight. Knowing you like I have over the years, I would have to think you've already begun to take a peek next week in what is a district championship game against Gainesville.
Yeah, our playoffs start, they've begun right now. So I don't think that the loser of next Friday's game will get into the playoffs. Based on the RPI situation, which supposedly that was going to help you if you play a good schedule. But I don't think it works that way. So, anyways, that situation for the two of us, I think we were seventh. I think they were ninth or tenth going into the night. So, I think whoever wins that game obviously wins the district and moves on, and whoever doesn't could be on the outside looking in. So, it's a playoff game for us.
Well, I mean, obviously we're a little biased, but your two losses are to Bowles and Bartram Trail. You've beat everybody else. I mean, if you're on the outside looking in at 7-3, there would be something wrong with that, would there not?
Yeah, and I mean, I don't want to get too far into that, but you know, it's the setting that we've got. It's the way it's organized. So, you know, we control our destiny as this Gainesville. So we just got to be ready to play next week against a really good football team and try to get the job done. And then, you know, all that other stuff will take care of itself. So. And yeah, you got to play a tough schedule. You play that schedule because it serves you well in games like next week's game. So, you know, we'll be excited to play. It should be a fun night at Brumley Stadium and a true district championship game. So it'll be a fun time.
It'll be great. There's no question about it. St. Augustine, Gainesville, next Friday. The winner is a district champion. Brian Braddock of St. Augustine. Coach, congratulations.
Thanks a lot. You guys have a great weekend.
Appreciate it. Kyle Kennard of Clay in 30 seconds. I'll say it again.
Yeah.
Something would be wrong if you lose to a good Gainesville team, Bartram and Bowles. By the way, both games were fourth quarter games. And it's 7-3 if you're on the outside looking in. That would, you know, that would be very unfortunate.
It would. And, you know, this team that they played against Bowles was undefeated when they played them. And they lost 32-27. That, until tonight, was the best game that Bowles had played this year. And until tonight's game.
Let's go to Clay County. Kyle Kennard of Clay, winners tonight over Middleburg, 23-21. Clay has set themselves up for a big one next week as well. Coach joins us under the Friday Night Lights. Coach, congratulations.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
Yes, sir. Now, I know in talking to you, you're probably not satisfied. I know it was 23-7, I believe. Middleburg came back. Apparently, you stopped them, I guess, on a two-point conversion. How did the game end there?
Yeah, you know, we turned the ball over early in the fourth quarter, and they took about 8 minutes off the clock and went all the way down the field. And, you know, we were burned to have timeouts, and it just took forever. And they finally punched it in off a reverse. And then we had to get the stop going for two. And, you know, we kind of had a feeling about what they were going to run with their tailback out. You know, we set the edge, cut the ball back up, and then we made the tackle about the half-yard line to win the game. So it was a fun night. It was very interesting. You know, it's an in-county rivalry game. Coach Wolf's got those kids heading in the right direction. They play hard. We played hard.
and it was fun to get out of there with a win.
Coach, congratulations. You guys are undefeated in the month of October, winning four straight after tonight. Yeah. What's this team been like the last 4 weeks?
They're just resilient, man. They're gritty. You know, we haven't played perfect by any means, but, you know, like I said earlier in the week, you know, they're finding ways to win football games, and that's what good teams do. You know, and everything's not going to go your way. You got to battle, you got to fight, you got to claw, and you know, they're figuring out how to win a game, and that's all I can ask for. It's never pretty. It hasn't been pretty all year, but you know, our kids battle, and that's what we preach to them, and it's kind of our culture.
Coach, I don't know if you heard our conversation with Brian Braddock, but you're basically in the same position they are next week. Mm-hmm. Now that this game is in the rearview mirror, it's all about North Marion. I would have to think that when the schedule came out, didn't you probably know that this was going to be the scenario on October 29th, you guys in North Marion for a district title?
Yeah, but you never know how good some of these district teams turn out to be. You know, our district wasn't as great as, you know, we thought it might be, but you know, when you look at it before the season, you know, you've got some tough games at the beginning, and you start getting into your district schedule. I mean, you try to think about the scenarios, but, you know, I wouldn't tell you, I'd be lying to you if I didn't tell you that, you know, that's probably what I thought was going to happen, but, you know, you still got to go out and play the games, and you got to win the games. So, you know, we put ourselves in a good position. You know, we're 6-2, 3-0 in the district, and, you know, we put ourselves in a good position to, you know, control our own destiny, as do they. So, you know, we're going to go play them and battle and see what happens.
North Marion survived Menendez tonight 17-10, a very game Menendez mm-hmm. team. Gave them a heck of a battle. Real quick.
Hey, Menendez can play now. They're good. Yeah. They can. Coach Potak does a good job over there. He's got them in the right direction, too.
I agree. I really like what Coach Potak's doing at Menendez. Real quick, scouting report. What mm-hmm. does North Marion bring to the table next Friday?
To be honest with you, I just kind of sat down and did a little bit of looking at them today for the first time. You know, they've got some athletes on the perimeter. They got a quarterback that can get them the ball. You know, they're going to spread us out. You know, maybe 10 personnel and, you know, run the zone read and take some shots off of it. It's going to be a tough battle. And, you know, we'll put a plan together and see what we can go do.
What a Friday night it'll be. Clay and North Marion next week. The winner will be a district champion. Kyle Kennard of Clay, they are winners tonight, 23-21 over Middleburg. Coach, congratulations. We hope we're talking to you next Friday.
Appreciate it, guys. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Two huge games, but St. Augustine next week going against Gainesville, and with Clay going against North Marion, both district title games.
That's what this time of year is about, right? I mean, these district championships on the line. We saw one decided tonight. Actually, we saw a couple decided tonight. Fletcher, Baker County, among those that we've seen already decided by tonight's games. And next week, those are just a few that could be decided for district titles.
Against Sandalwood, 30-0 winners tonight over Mandarin. Englewood, 36-0 over Fernandina Beach. Terry Parker, a 28-14 winner over University Christian. It was Westside, 28-23 over Orange Park. Gibby, you mentioned Fletcher, 44-14 over First Coast. Fletcher is a district champion here in 2021. Menendez, as we mentioned, did fall to North Marion by a touchdown. We just talked to Kyle Kennard of Clay, 23-21 over Middleburg. Bartram Trail is a district champion, 49-33. They defeat Oakleaf. It was Yulee falling to Bradford tonight, 42-18. Baker County is a district champion. They beat Ed White, 36-13. Bishop Kenny, 31-28 in overtime over Live Oak Suwanee. It has gone final. On 10:10 a.m., Gainesville-Buholtz 14-7 over Bowles, giving Bowles their first loss of the year. Now, Gibby, let me ask you this. Is that Buholtz being really good? Is that Bowles being rusty after 21 days off? What do you? What are your thoughts on that outcome?
No, I think it might be a little bit of both. I think Gainesville-Buholtz is just that good. They were 6-1. I heard Tony say that Buholtz's only loss this year was to Cardinal Gibbons.
Yeah, I mean, Buholtz is a 7A team against a 4A Bowles team.
Right.
You got to take that into account, too. Now, Bowles is unbelievably good, and I still thought they were going to win the game, but they were playing way up in classification tonight.
Yeah, they were, and anytime you take that big step up in classification, it's going to obviously show a difference. And so after tonight's game, Buholtz is 7-1 again. Their only loss was to that Cardinal Gibbons team out of Fort Lauderdale. 16-7 was the final, by the way, that Buchholz game. That was on September 17th. But, by the way, that was that Cardinal Gibbons team that beat Bowles in the state championship not long ago, too. So, yeah, I don't think there's much concern. Bowles is 6-1. They have two games left in the regular season. I think they're still in good shape.
Fleming Island, 21-12 over Atlantic Coast. St. Augustine, 37-21 over Matanzas. It was Riverside, 28-20 over Trinity Christian. And we're still waiting on a final for Crescent City and for Wolfson. Oh, by the way, as well, Baldwin defeats Paxson tonight as Baldwin gets back in the winner's column. More victorious head coaches. It is the Southeast Orthopedic Specialist Friday Night Lights here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM with Andrew Gibson and RJ Saunders. The Hacker Ryan Green with you, Jacksonville. So very glad you're with us. More to do. Glad you're with us under the Friday Night Lights.
I know football.
Now, the Southeast Orthopedic Specialist Coaches Corner on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Two of the best programs in the area got after it tonight, Riverside and Trinity Christian, and it was Riverside, 28-20 over Trinity. Coach O.J. Small of Riverside here with us under the Friday Night Lights. Coach, congratulations.
Oh, man, I appreciate it. Definitely appreciate it.
Coach, I would imagine a win like this over a good Trinity team. I mean, are you kidding me? They're going to be one of the favorites to win a 2A state championship. You got to be happy after the way the Columbia game ended. You had a bye week to think about that. You come back tonight, play a really good Trinity team, win the game. You must be pretty ecstatic about the way your kids played.
Yes, I'm definitely ecstatic about the way they played. They got a well-oiled machine over there at Trinity, and we knew it was going to be a tough one. I told them it was going to be four quarters, and they weren't going back down. We had a lead at the halftime. We just had to make sure, you know, we had to execute our plays, you know. It's not necessarily, you know, I say humbly, but it's not necessarily about the other team. It's about us. We can't just continue to shoot ourselves in the foot. You know, we create turnovers and we take advantage of our opportunities and we protect the ball. I mean, we just can't, you know, beat ourselves, you know. But the guys came out and played with energy, man. That's what I was excited to see. You know, they're rooting for each other. And we had a couple people down and, hey, we were able to pull out a win.
Coach, you've seen a lot of good football. How much talent was on either side of the ball tonight between you two teams?
It was definitely a lot of talent out there for sure, man. The sideline, the scouts on the sideline, you know, two puppets. You know, just say, we know we're going to play each other hard every time we line up. And we hope to get, you know, have that type of success that they're having over there in the past. And we're trying to create our own legacy over here at Riverside, you know. Yeah, it was a lot of talent. And both sides showed up. It was a great game.
Coach, there's some team somewhere that's going to celebrate a district championship either tonight or next week, and their reward in round one is going to be you guys. I would have to think that, I mean, the Columbia game stings, obviously. It's a district game. It means you got to go on the road now in the postseason. But, boy, if I'm a district champion and I draw Riverside in round one, I'm not going to be happy.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm going to take that as a compliment. But definitely, it's not necessarily about the other team. It's about us. And we had to learn from the Columbia game. We had to be humble. We can't. It's hard to go out there and win a game when you have six turnovers. You know, it's hard to beat anyone. We took care of, you know, the last two games. We did very well with penalties. I want to say Columbia game, we had three penalties. Tonight, we only had four. So, you know, we're cleaning up our game. It just, we got to take care of the ball and, you know, execute. That's what it's about. You know, we got the talent, we got the coaching. It's about putting everything together and treat it, you know, make sure that the team is for each other and plan for each other, you know. So we have a lot of growing to do, and we have a lot to learn and critique and fine tune. So we got to keep winning 1-0 each week to the end of the season. We got two more regular season games, and like I say, we got to go travel, and we did that to ourselves, so we got to go travel for sure. So it is what it is.
That's right. Coach, what did you learn about the game against Columbia? Was it a matter of just, hey, we got to just not turn the ball over? What did you learn from that one?
Definitely, it's the my bad. We only had three penalties, but, you know, two of them was on fourth down. You know, one was a late hit on the quarterback. One was on a fake punt that we stopped, man. One was on our last drive. So all three of them was hurt. You know, so it's three phases to the game. we had three turnovers on special teams. We had three turnovers on offense. So we can't shoot ourselves in the foot. We can't put defense in bad positions. So it's about learning from that stuff and just building on it. And also, like, if football is four quarters. It's very cliche. Football is four quarters. We was up 26-7 third and fourth quarter. So we got to finish game. And we can't put ourselves, we can't shoot ourselves in the foot. And we can't put ourselves in a bad position. So it's a lot to learn. There's a lot, and the kids, at the end of the day, they got to understand, we got to come to practice and work hard. Like I say, you know, each and every day, we're going to face teams like Columbia, like Trinity, if not better. So we got to make sure we're not beating ourselves as well as, you know, just make sure we're ready.
Coach, final thought. You got West Side and you got Ed White to round out the year. I would have to think, I mean, obviously you're going to play hard no matter what. That's the kind of team you are. But there is a benefit to continue winning because, I mean, you could be seated anywhere 5 through 8. And obviously the better seed you are means the better matchup you have in round number one.
Yes, for sure, man. Honestly, well, we got to play. You know, just looking at it, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. Like, we definitely got to finish up the season, but whoever we play, we got to be ready for them. Like, they, you know, we got to make sure that we just mentally we're prepared. And you know, going to the playoffs, it's a different mindset. Win or go home. It's a lot of goals that we can accomplish, but we got to make sure, you know, we go out there and take it.
Well,
we got to go out there and make sure we take what we have, what we need to do.
Well, Coach, congratulations. A 28-20 winner tonight over Trinity Christian Riverside, back in the winner's column. Congrats, Coach.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
O.J. Small of Riverside, big win, Gibby, for them tonight.
Yeah, outstanding win for Coach O.J. Small. And like you said, whoever wins the district championship and then it's like, oh, yeah, we play Riverside in the first round. That team is loaded.
That's not a reward, believe me. Daryl Sutherland of Bartram Trail, 2 minutes away. Before we get there, let's head out to Baldwin. Coach Robert Shields of Baldwin, they are winners tonight over Paxson. Coach, congratulations.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
Coach, dominating performance tonight in a win over Paxson. You guys back in the winner's column for the second straight week. You must be very pleased with your team's performance.
Yeah, we came out slow in halftime. We were up 7-0. In the third quarter, we took care of business and got up 34-0 and had one score in the fourth quarter. And, you know, we had a running clock, which is something we haven't had all year, so that's kind of nice.
Coach, congratulations on the win. Who are some players that performed well tonight for you?
Cortez Martinez scored the first touchdown on a fumble recovery and returned it, I think, about 75 yards for a touchdown. And Armel DeBose had a rushing touchdown about 35 yards, and then he intercepted the ball and returned it to the 5-yard line, and Eric Buggis caught a pass on the next play. So the defense really carried us tonight.
Well, Coach, congratulations. Now for you, it's Wolfson and then Baker County, and you're in an interesting position as far as the playoffs go. I think you're going to be in good shape for the postseason, but when will you start looking at the numbers as well to kind of figure things out on your end?
Honestly, I look out the numbers on Sunday when they release them.
Yeah.
You know, it's just too much moving parts with the RPI. I'm not a math guy. I'm not smart enough to figure it out. I've told the story before on here. You know, a couple of years back, we thought we were playing somebody, and we changed the film and started breaking it down. And then next thing you know, Sunday at noon, the brackets come out and playing somebody different. So, I mean, you have an idea of what the possible matchups might be, but it's honestly, it's too much moving parts to make a decision as far as I'm concerned.
Well, at least you know it won't be Trinity Christian this year, so you got that going for you.
There is that, exactly. So everybody's not making it, which is the way it should be.
Well, Coach, congratulations. Big win for Baldwin tonight. Best of luck moving forward.
I appreciate it, guys. Y'all have a good one.
Robert Shields of Baldwin. It's a good football team they got out there.
Yeah, it is. Baldwin has certainly found their stride the last couple of games. The two losses previous to that were to a couple of good teams. That Andrew Jackson team that's pretty good. They lost, of course, that one Baldwin did on the 8th of October, but they've won two in a row since against Paxson and Bradford, so a good stretch here for Baldwin.
Daryl Sutherland and Bartram Trail, winners tonight over Oakley, 49-33. I believe by my calculation that means another district championship for the Bartram Trail Bears. Coach, congratulations.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Coach, 49-33 over Oak Leaf. You got a couple of more games down the stretch, but you guys, to this point, have run the gauntlet. We know how hard that 8A district is. You've beat all comers, and you're celebrating a district title tonight. You must be very pleased.
I'd say I'm really proud of our guys, and have been just so blessed with the coaching staff I get to work with and the players that we have the honor of coaching. So to me, it's just, you know, I pray every year for extra time with them, and so it's a blessing to know that we get some extra games potentially.
Coach, congratulations once again on another big win tonight in that district championship. Do you feel like this team has really put it all together, offense, defense, and special teams?
Well, we're definitely making progress, and that's the thing, you know, that we talk all the time about, you know, just continuing to enjoy the process and getting better, not focusing on the outcome, but focus on the process of getting better every day, and I feel like the guys are doing that.
Coach, you can really say this for every classification, but my goodness, in 8A especially, how much does that mean to have a home playoff game as opposed to having to travel down to an Orlando or somewhere? I would imagine that's got to be something that you're very pleased with that you guys are going to be able to have.
Well, it's awesome. And it's like I've said before, I know I'm biased, but I feel like the Bartram Trail does it as well as anybody in the country as far as Friday Night Lights and the crowd there and just all the things that come together. So to potentially, you know, have more of those is it's just, you know, such a blessing and such a great experience for our student athletes and for everybody in the community.
You know, it wasn't long ago where 8A was only Mandarin and Sandalwood in our area. But now the district this year with you guys and Creekside and Oakleaf along with Mandarin and Sandalwood. I know you got one game to go in district play next week against Sandalwood to try to have a perfect district regular season. But now that you're celebrating a district title, just talk about, Coach, the challenges playing so many good teams so frequently this regular season.
Well, you know, our guys have really looked forward to the challenge every week. And, you know, as a coaching staff, we're coaching against, you know, great coaches on the other side. You know, we're playing against really high-quality football teams. They've been great games every week. And so it's been an exciting season. It's something that, you know, when we put that schedule together, we knew it was going to be like that every week. And it's been great, been thrilling.
Coach, final question for me. I have a buddy who works at Bartram Trail who said last week the home game against Creekside was maybe the most people he's ever seen at Bartram Trail for a football game. Was that one of the more impressive environments, most people that you've had at a home game?
It was. It was a really fun environment. And, you know, just hats off to our administration and Ben Windrell, our AD, for managing that, putting it all together. But just, you know, like I say, when you pack that many people in there and we have such a huge and great band and the dance team and the cheerleaders and everybody, it's an awesome environment.
Darrell Sutherland of Bartram Trail, 49-33 winners tonight over Oak Leaf. The Bartram Trail Bears are 2021 district champions. Congratulations, Coach.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend. God bless.
You really look at this, Gibby, as Damien Springs of Fleming Island, 30 seconds away. You look at their district gauntlet with Bartram Trail, the fact that they were able to beat Creekside on a last-second field goal, the fact that Bartram was able to beat Mandarin, beat a good Oak Leaf team. They still have Sandalwood next week. But, I mean, 8A football in our area is no joke, and Bartram, once again, is a district champion.
Well, just think about what they've run through the last couple of games. So their last loss was to a good Tallahassee-Lincoln team September 10th.
A game that they had, and they let get away in the fourth quarter.
Right, but think about who they beat following that. Mandarin, St. Augustine, Pontevedra, Creekside, Oakleaf. That is a gauntlet.
Yeah, and that'll get you ready for 8A playoff football, no question about it. What a big win tonight for Fleming Island. Damien Springs of Fleming Island, a 21-12 winner over Atlantic Coast. Coach Springs here with us under the Friday Night Lights. Coach, congrats.
Thank you.
Coach, we knew that this was a big game. This was basically a playoff game is the way I looked at it. The winner's still alive for one of those at-large spots. The loser was going to have a hard time getting in. You guys get it done. Sets up another huge matchup for you next week against Nice. But you must be very pleased with the way your team played.
Yes, sir. Our guys came out and played pretty hard tonight. They knew the rest of the season on the line, you know, we're trying to win out. So we let the chips fall where they fall. And we know Atlantic Coast is always a good opponent. They upset some people this year. So our guys are ready.
Yeah, Coach, congratulations once again on this win tonight. You mentioned Atlantic Coast and who they've beaten this year. They have some pretty impressive wins on their resume, wins against Creekside, Sandalwood, among others, a Mandarin as well. I mean, what did it take to beat these guys tonight?
Pretty much a good, solid defense. I mean, our defense played lights out again. We were able to control, contain that quarterback, contain the running back, and I think they beat us one-on-one deep ball, and we was right there in coverage with him. But he made a great catch and ran it in. So, hats off to our defense.
Coach,
our defense coordinator.
I know you're celebrating this one over Atlantic Coast, but, I mean, in your district as well, we talk about the 8A district, your district's been really tough as well with Fletcher, with Nice, with Ponte Vedra, Atlantic Coast, you guys go on down the line. You and I believe Nice, right, next week. What a huge game to end district play. That's another game that is probably a playoff game, to be honest.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I mean, Nice is a great opponent. We've been kind of following Nice all year. And, you know, knowing that was going to be a great matchup between the two. And they do great things on offense, defense. So, be a pretty good game.
You know, the interesting thing, Coach, and you guys have obviously played big games in the postseason. Your kids are accustomed to that. It's got to be nice and rewarding to have a big game at the end of October.
Yes, sir. It's very nice reward because at the end is really when you're playing your best football. So it's always good to have some big games at the end. And usually it's good to have that big game, how you prepared going into the playoffs.
Coach, you spoke about your defensive effort tonight against Atlantic Coast. What about the defense, really gave you guys the advantage tonight?
I mean, the guys went out and played hard. We jumped in a few different defenses that they wasn't expecting. We shut down what we knew they were going to run, their big plays. And the guys just, they went after them. So that was good about it.
Namium Springs of Fleming Island, winners tonight over Atlantic Coast. Sets up a big matchup next week against the Nice Panthers. Coach, congratulations.
Thank you.
Fleming and Nice, to me, is very similar to what Fleming and Atlantic Coast was tonight. The winner probably still looking pretty good, at least in the running for an at-large spot. The loser of that game next week, Gibby, is probably in trouble. So, and who knows if the winner actually gets in.
Right.
But if you don't win that game, you're in a lot of trouble. I think the winner still has hope that they get one of those at-large spots.
Yeah, I always look at who beat certain teams, and if you beat a team, who did they beat, that sort of deal. I mean, think about the teams that Atlantic Coast has beaten this year. Mandarin, Creekside, we just ran through a couple of the other ones, Ponte Vedra. And
I think they beat Sandalwood, didn't they?
Yeah, they beat Sandalwood.
They beat three 8A teams.
Yeah, so it's an impressive win if you look at who they beat for Fleming Island tonight to beat Atlantic Coast.
And again, I got back to Seattle Fazen at Fletcher. They're the district champion in that district. They
right.
beat Fleming. They beat Atlantic Coast. They beat Nice. I mean, that was a great run, is a great run that Fletcher is on. I'll tell you another great run right now. That is the Hilliard Red Flashes. They are undefeated. With all due respect to Keystone Heights, they're about an hour outside of us. For the listening area, Hilliard, after the Bulls lost tonight, is the only undefeated team, to my knowledge, in a 45-minute listening area of Jacksonville. Their head coach is John Pate. He joins us under the Friday Night Lights. Coach Pate, congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. That was a game we worried about all week. We'd seen Trenton on film, and they hadn't had the best season, but they've got an athlete at quarterback, and they've transitioned from a double slot, more of a wing T team, to getting in to a Wildcat, and he gets the ball 75% of the time, and he can run and he can scramble, and they'd scored 97 points in the last 2 weeks. And we knew going in, I kept telling our kids it was a trap game. You know, we're undefeated, but that doesn't mean anything this time of year. All it has to do is you miss a couple assignments, miss a couple tackles on fast people, and, you know, and they put them on the board. And we were very, very fortunate to win tonight. We jumped out, we keep losing the kickoff coin toss. Every week we lose it, so we defer, we lose it. Got the ball, drove it down and scored. DJ Costin scored that one, I believe, his 15th touchdown of the year. And
wow.
And we feel pretty good. They got on offense first down. I sent the house. I sent a 7-man blitz. We hit him and got a fumble. And all of a sudden, we're, you know, the ball was at you know, 35-yard line short field. We drive it down there and throw a touchdown pass. So all of a sudden, you know, we're about, you know, end of the first quarter, we're up 14-0. They've run one snap. And then hold your horses, because then they're a little quarterback and they're wing backs, and their foot-to-foot splits is really tough. As small as we are, for people that don't know me, I blitz all the time. I blitz and I send people from everywhere because we're not big enough really to hold the point. So we're a big blitzing fire zone team, and all of a sudden we turn around and they're marching it down the field. I can't get a stop. And it's 14-14 at halftime, and I went out there and chewed everybody out, all our position groups and the people in the concession stand. I think anybody within earshot caught it in the knickers. And we came out and we played a little better, and I'll be doggone if we don't kick it off to them. And they drive about 60 yards down the field. They have fourth down and three at the 13-yard line, and decide to roll out just a bootleg pass. And my really good defensive end, all-district player, Carson Newkirk, sacks him for about a 10-yard loss. And that was huge. We get the ball, drive it down, went up, and score. So it's missed the extra point. So it's 20-14. They get the ball back. We hand it around, let them have a couple plays, and they go up 21-20. And we've got a chance maybe to have one more drive. And sure enough, we got a good kickoff return and drove the ball down the field, made some plays. Our running back got loose a couple times, 30 yards, 25 yards. We hit a couple slants, and we punched the ball in and then went for two. So we went back up 28-21. And then for the first time all season, I got in victory defense. Three-man rush and dropped everybody with three super safeties. And last play of the game, we intercepted and run it about 50 yards down to he gets knocked out at the one-yard line. So it was exciting for the fans. I hated it.
Well, Coach, I'll tell you this, and we appreciate the synopsis, because you guys had to come back in the fourth quarter to win. You know, we have about 60 seconds here, but what a special regular season you guys have had to this point. Obviously, you got bigger goals than what you've accomplished, but my goodness, you're the only team in the listening area right now that's still unbeaten.
Well, we haven't been beaten in a regular season since the middle of October 2019, was the last time we lost a regular season game. So, you know, when I got to here, there's 17 football players. Now we're doing much, much better, and we're winning at all our levels, and we've won 20 of the last 22 times we've taken the field, and Madison County's got them two that we've lost.
Wow. Well, hey, Coach, we understand that one of your players got injured tonight. I know you, I guess, visited him at the hospital.
I'm outside the emergency room right now. I'm outside the hospital.
How is the young man doing?
He's starting to move everything. He's talking a little bit. I feel better after seeing him responding to the people in the ER and stuff. So we all got our fingers crossed. He's a huge, valuable member of a 300-pound center for us, huge, valuable player for us. So we, like I said, if everybody in the listening audience can say a little prayer for him, I'd feel better about that.
Well, prayers up. Coach Pate, big win for you guys. Congratulations. Best of luck moving forward.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for calling.
Boy, what a win for Hilliard tonight.
Yeah, and Coach gave us the lowdown on what happened tonight. We really appreciate that. That was very detailed. I loved hearing what he's talking about with the blitzes that he sent, and loved being a fire zone blitz team and the super safeties. Man, he broke it down for us.
Coach Pate's a football coach.
I love it, man. I love it. Football guy.
There is no question about that. All right, most games have gone final. In fact, I think every game has gone final. We've had about a dozen head coaches on already. RJ, really good job. Sandalwood 30-0 over Mandarin. Inglewood 36-0 over Fernandina Beach. University Christian falls to Parker 28-14. Gibby, you read anything into that, or is that University Christian just playing way up in competition?
Well, I think it is playing up in competition, but we've spoken to University Christian and Coach Penland several times, and they've been banged up this year. You know, he's made no bones about that. They've had their ups and downs on the field, but they've also had some nicks and bruises on their football team. And I think part of it is playing up in classification, but that's a pretty good game they played against Parker.
Westside 28-23 winners over Orange Park. Fletcher is a district champion, 44-14 winners over the First Coast Buccaneers. It was North Marion 17-10 over Menendez. You combine that with Clay's 23-21 win over Middleburg. That sets up a district title game next week between North Marion and Clay. Likewise, Gainesville and St. Augustine. St. Augustine over Matanzas last night. Gainesville beat Ridgeview. So that sets up a district championship game next week, St. Augustine and Gainesville. Crescent City, 62-38 over Wolfson. Bishop Kenny in overtime, 31-28 over Swanee. Gainesville Buholtz, Gibby, 14-7 over Bowles, giving Bowles their first loss of the year.
Yeah, that's certainly one of the eye-opening scores that we've seen tonight. Bowles suffers their first loss of the regular season this year. And look, we know that that team is really good. Gainesville Buholtz is coming into tonight with 6-1 on the season. Their only loss was against Cardinal Gibbons, a team that won a state championship a year ago, I believe. And look, I don't think it's anything to discredit Bowles for. They played a one-score game against a really good team.
Riverside 28-20 over Trinity Christian. More scores, more victorious head coaches, more analysis. Glad you're with us. With Andrew Gibson and RJ Saunders, the Hacker Ryan Green with you. It is the Friday Night Lights postgame. We are presented, as always, by Southeast Orthopedic Specialists. Remember the bump and bruise clinics. Southeast Orthopedic Specialists tomorrow, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. The Brooks YMCA on the south side. Preferred Physical Therapy in Fleming Island. Atlas Physical Therapy off of 210. If you need to have something looked at, a shoulder, a wrist, a knee, whatever, what have you, go to these bump and bruise clinics, get the diagnosis, and get the treatment started tomorrow morning instead of waiting till Monday and having 48 hours of non-treatment, non-therapy. The bump and bruise clinics, again, Brooks YMCA on the south side, Preferred Physical Therapy in Fleming Island, Atlas Physical Therapy off of 210, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. with the good Dr. Kevin Murphy and his colleagues at Southeast Orthopedic Specialist.
The Friday Night Lights Shine Bright.
Friday Night Lights.
Presented by Southeast Orthopedic Specialists on 1010XL.
With Andrew Gibson, the Hacker Ryan Green with you under the Friday Night Lights, as always, presented by Southeast Orthopedic Specialists. All right, Gibby, let's kind of take a look at these one by one. We know there's some gigantic matchups next week. Sandalwood Mandarin. I'm not surprised Sandalwood won the game. I texted Coach Adam Geist to congratulate him. That's a big win for them. I'm downright shocked it was 30-0 because Mandarin was coming in playing really good football, had beat Ed White, had beat Oakleaf last week, and for Sandalwood to put it all together, clearly their best game of the year, all but ending Mandarin's playoff hopes tonight as well. What do you make of 30-0 Sandalwood over Mandarin?
It was one that raised my eyebrows for sure when you look at that 30-0 score. I mean, let's think about this. Mandarin scored 47 points last week against Oakleaf and won that ball game going away. Not going away. They won 47-35. The week before, they scored 35. And to come out here and Sandalwood shuts them out, that was very surprising to me as well.
It was a big win for Sandalwood. Congratulations to Adam Geist. And that's still a pretty big rivalry. Keep in mind, Sandalwood and Mandarin for a long time were the only two 8A programs in the area, so it's still a lot of bragging rights on the line when they get together. Englewood 36-0 over Fernandina Beach. We had Coach Harbison of Englewood on earlier. That's back-to-back impressive performances for a Duval County public school looking to turn things around. Englewood got to feel pretty good about the direction of their season right now.
I think so. I think you stack a couple of wins on top of each other, and that really provides some building blocks for your future. I know that Coach Harbison likes what he's got there offensively. They're really beginning to score some points there.
Westside 28-23 over Orange Park. We talked to Rodney DeBose earlier in the show as well. That's another team that, are they going to the postseason? No, but it's got to start somewhere. They've lost a lot of tough ball games this year. The fact that they were able to win a game in the fourth quarter, it's got to give those guys some confidence to end the year on a high note, take that into the offseason.
Well, let's think about this West Side team. They lost several in a row. Their first win of the season prior to tonight was against Andrew Jackson in week one. So that was a good win. They lost several in a row and then pull off a victory tonight against Orange Park. So, you know, like you said, as you get toward the end of the season, you're learning about things about your football team. And as Coach said, a very young football team over there at Westside.
District champion for Fletcher, 44-14. Again, you talk about the gauntlet they did, beating Atlantic Coast, beating Fleming Island, beating Nice, tonight beating First Coast. Clearly, Gibby, Fletcher and head coach Seatric Faison, they earned that district championship.
What a week it's been and will be for Coach Seatric Faison. They win a district championship, and he's going into the Florida Georgia Hall of Fame next week as the Florida Georgia game is here next Saturday. So it's a pretty good week for him. And look, what they've done to respond to an 0-3 start. They lost to Sandalwood, Parker, and Andrew Jackson to open the season. All they've done since is reel off five games in a row and win a district title.
It was a district championship for Baker County tonight as well. Baker's win combined with Live Oak Suwannee's loss gives Baker a district title as they beat Ed White 36-16. Again, when you saw the district come out, you see Baker and Ed White, you probably knew at that point tonight was going to be for a district championship. That turned out to be the case, and Baker put it all together tonight in a 20-point win.
Yeah, impressive win for Baker County. Coach Kevin Mays, you guys spoke to him earlier this week on the High School Half Hour and spoke about the possibilities going into that game. Well, this could happen, that could happen as far as a district championship. Bottom line is they won the game, and Bishop Kenny beat Suwannee, and that's pretty much how they won the district title tonight.
Bartram is a district champion, 49-33 over Oakleaf. We talked to Daryl Sutherland, the head coach of Bartram, earlier. Again, they have victories over Mandarin, Creekside, and Oakleaf. You talk about earning a district title. Bartram clearly did that this year.
Well, and one of the questions that I was asking Coach Sutherland earlier about just all three phases of his football team, have they really put all that together? And I feel like they have, because if you look at what they've done, we know that their defense is very good. They played games this year where they only give up 6 points to Miami Columbus, 8 points to Mandarin. I mean, that defense is something else. But the special teams, Liam Padron, their kicker, has made several field goals. In fact, before tonight's game, had kicked them to two consecutive victories on his leg alone. We know they can score points. Bartram's got a very good football team.
Bishop Kenny, an overtime win over Live Oak Suwannee, a game you heard right here on 92.5 FM. Bishop Kenny goes to 5-2 on the year. If they were to beat Paxson and were to beat Episcopal to finish 7-2, who knows if they would get one of those at-large spots. But the only reason that conversation is still going right now, Gibby, is because of their win tonight. Probably the biggest win Bishop Kenny's had in 3 years, beating a good Live Oak Suwannee team tonight.
Well, and I think it's one of the biggest turnarounds in the city of Jacksonville. When you look at last year to this year, Bishop Kenny won one football game a year ago. What they've done since in winning five games now, they're 5-2 after this win tonight, and beating a pretty good Suwannee team. And look, the only losses that they've had this year are to Baker County and Ed White, who played for a district championship tonight, Baker winning that game. But it's just an incredible turnaround tonight with senior night for Bishop Kenny. 17 of those seniors on that team really have poured their heart and soul into that program.
St. Augustine, 37-21 over Matanzas. Fleming Island, 21-12 over Atlantic Coast. It was Riverside, 28-20 over Trinity Christian. Concerned about Trinity at all? I mean, now they're playing way up in competition, obviously. They're not going to see anything like this in the 2A playoffs. But nevertheless, they have lost three games now in the regular season. It's interesting when your regular season is going to be way harder than a majority of your postseason, more than likely. But still, Trinity kind of limping down the stretch here coming into the postseason.
Yeah, but I think that's what Verlin does. He plays up in competition as far as classifications go. And look, he's just trying to get his guys ready, because in these losses against maybe higher classifications, that's going to get you ready for the playoffs that you're going to see what lies ahead. So I think what Coach Verlin Dormady does there at Trinity still does an incredible job. But playing up in classification is always tough. But I think Trinity is a school and a program that's going to bounce back.
As we mentioned, next week we already know North Marion and Clay is for a district championship. St. Augustine and Gainesville is for a district championship. I got to tell you, too, that Fleming Island-Nice game, a gigantic game, not for a district title, but to keep your postseason hopes alive.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, we get down to this last week of October, first week of November, when the playoffs really do start. This is crunch time. That's what I was saying earlier in the pregame. I mean, this is the type of these are the type of games that really are meaningful down the stretch if you're going to make the playoffs or not.
With Andrew Gibson and RJ Saunders, the Hacker Ryan Green with you under the Friday Night Lights. We are presented by Southeast Orthopedic Specialists. We'll come back. We'll put a wrap on this program, kind of set the table for next week. Oh, by the way, Reigns and Rebalt, the Northwest Classic tomorrow, 2:30. Reigns getting ready for the postseason. Rebalt trying to get their best win of the year, get a little bragging rights back in a rivalry that Reigns is starting to dominate a little bit, at least in recent memory. It is going to be an outstanding atmosphere tomorrow. We'll talk about that too. We're under the Friday Night Lights. Glad you're with us here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
The Friday Night Lights shine bright.
Friday Night Lights.
Presented by Southeast Orthopedic Specialists on 1010XL.
We've talked to a lot of victorious head coaches tonight under the Friday Night Lights. Let's talk to one more final coach of the evening, and he is a district champion. Seattle Faison of Fletcher, they beat First Coast tonight. They already have wins over Atlantic Coast, over Fleming Island, and over Nice, and they are celebrating a district title. Coach, congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Coach, what a win. What a season. What a streak you guys are on. I saw the pregame video, you getting the fellas hyped before the game. You were obviously ready, and boy, your kids really performed well tonight.
Oh yes, definitely. You know, we ended up having senior night, so we started off a little flat. We warmed up it, started warming up at 4:30, and First Coast had a little delay on their bus, but you know, once it we went out there for captains, and those guys, First Coast guys, didn't want to shake our guys' hands, so that kind of motivated the players. So I didn't have to do much talking, and I let them know how big this game was, and they did a great job of responding and getting up for the game.
What is it like for you when you used to play against Marty Lee when you were a player at Fletcher? Now you're coaching against Marty Lee as the head coach of Fletcher. That must have been a kind of a surreal moment.
Somewhat, but, you know, just me being able to coach under Marty Lee last year as his offensive coordinator, and like I said, being the offensive coordinator up until July 25th, you know, I end up building a great bond with Coach Lee. You know, he always showed me love as a player, but being able to coach under him for a year and see how he do things, you know, it just made our relationship stronger. So I just took this game, man, as just another game, and just more importantly, trying to get the district win.
Seattle, man, you guys started out 0-3. You've won five games in a row to win this district championship. What has this run been like for you guys, and how did you turn it around the way you did?
Well, I knew we lost three close games, and, you know, three games with like a combined 12 points or something like that. So, you know, it wasn't hard. I told the guys, we just got to learn how to finish. And once we got our majority of our players healthy, especially Jabari, our running back, Chad Elder, the defensive, we made a quarterback change. I knew once those things got in place that we was going to be able to go on a run. And with the Monday I went in after we got the 0-3, I told the guys, man, we go 7-0. We probably should be undefeated, but we really can go 7-0. And the main goal is to win our district, and let's do it. And that was the whole key going forward after starting 0-3.
Coach, is it pedal to the metal now the last two games? You got a district title wrapped up. You know you're going to be at least at home for round one of the postseason. Do you try to get guys healthy? How are you going to approach these last two games?
We're healthy for the most part. So I'm going to take this last two games like we took the first eight. You know, we're going to play football. We're going to try to go out there and win both of those games. I want to go undefeated in the district. It's not just about already being in the playoffs. I want to go undefeated in the district, finish in 7-3. And I know we have an opportunity to do that. So going into the playoffs, I want to be on a great winning streak, man. You know,
when you get used to winning, those guys end up playing harder for you, and that's been the key. So we want to keep winning and keep the streak alive, and hopefully we can win these last two and go into playoffs on a high.
Coach, what is this upcoming week going to be like for you? Florida-Georgia week, you're going into the Florida-Georgia Hall of Fame. That's a pretty cool honor as a Gator.
Oh, definitely. You know, it's crazy. Many people don't know, but my birthday is next Friday, and that's the luncheon. So my birthday is next Friday. It's Palm Beach next Friday. So, you know, I always put my players first, and I just learn how to manage these things. I know it's going to be a crazy week, but at the end of the day, you know, I know my team has a task at hand. I'm going to put those guys first, and, you know, I'm going to definitely take care of Gator Nation when it's time for me to speak on Friday.
I can't believe I never knew that. My birthday's next Friday, too.
Wow.
So not only do me and Seatric Faison share a memory, you have no recollection of this, but you gained like 300 yards on Wolfson back in my junior year, and my moment of glory was shoving you out of bounds. But now we'll get to see each other at the Florida-Georgia Hall of Fame as well. We'll be down there, Coach. We look forward to sharing that moment with you. It is a terrific honor. You're a district champion this week as well. It's things are looking good for Seatric Faison and that Fletcher program. Coach, congratulations. Happy early birthday, and we'll see you on Friday.
Same to you, and thank you for having me, and I appreciate y'all.
Seatric Faison of Fletcher, a district champion tonight. I never knew.
Wow.
He and I had the same birthday. That's pretty cool.
That's a big moment, too, of you pushing him out of bounds.
It is. It is. We were only down like 63-10 at the time, but he had like 300 yards rushing on us. But I made sure he didn't have 301 yards rushing on us. No question about that. Now, on the pregame show, Gibby, earlier on here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM, you did something pretty cool surrounding the Northwest Classic tomorrow between Reigns and Rebolt.
Yeah, let's hear that in just a second. You know, spoke to both Coach Marlon White and Coach Donovan Maslin ahead of tomorrow's Northwest Classic. And, you know, we start with Coach Marlon White just talking about the significance of this game.
It means a lot. I mean, it's like a big family reunion, and like they're playing brothers and cousins, and it's all family. And I think you get more trash talk from the public, from the alumni than you do the kids, but it gives them a chance to give some bragging rights for a year. And for us on this side, it actually gives a chance to book a four-season losing streak against Reigns, which will be a positive for our program.
As Coach White mentioned, Reigns has won four in a row in the series. How important is it to snap the four-game losing streak tomorrow afternoon?
It's a big thing. And say that we have a senior group that's never beat Reigns before. I speak a lot about taking our seniors out the right way and making sure our underclassmen play for our seniors. And to give them something they haven't had in their careers will be a big win for our seniors as well.
At 1-7, it's not the season that Rebolt had anticipated. But a win against rival Reigns tomorrow would help send their seniors off the right way.
I think it's a game changer. Our seniors have been through a lot. They face a lot of adversity. And this season didn't exactly go as well as they would like to have went. But in the end, it's been an experience. And to have them start with here and end on a streak with Reigns and then try to finish our season with a win against Jackson, it'll mean a lot. At least we're going out on a winning note, but it starts tomorrow, and I think it'll mean a lot for us guys, something we especially haven't done in 40 years.
1-7 Rebolt will host 5-2 Reigns tomorrow afternoon in the 52nd Northwest Classic just after 2 o'clock. What does the rivalry mean to Reigns head coach Donovan Maslin?
Personally, it means, you know, a community coming together for one common goal. That's to just fellowship and have a great time, the bragging rights back and forth. But ultimately, it's about the kids putting on the show for the community, something that's been on this side of town. And we just want to enjoy it. We want to, relish the moment. You know, not everybody gets the opportunity to play in the Northwest Classic. So we never want to take this for granted. We appreciate the community support throughout the week, you know, starting off with church service as, you know, two schools come together. So, you know, both schools are enjoying the week, enjoying the festivities, and, you know, we just can't wait for Saturday.
For those that haven't experienced the Reigns-Rebolt rivalry, what is the atmosphere like on game day?
You know, playing football, you always watch TV and you always watch those big games on Saturday, those big games on Sunday. You see people tailgating. You grow up and you want to be a part of that, and to have it on a high school level, the support and the growth it has done over the years, you know, as you're growing up through, you pick and choose what high school you want to go to. And, you know, Range and Rebound is definitely making a lot of kids feel like, hey, I want to be a part of that, you know, the support, the camaraderie, the tradition that those schools have. They want to grow up and be a part of the rivalry because, you know, like I've told them, this is one of the biggest high school games you would find in Jacksonville, in the state of Florida, and probably in the nation as well.
Reigns will be on the road tomorrow at Rebalt, going for 5 wins in a row in the series. What's the message for this Vikings football team going into the rivalry matchup with the Trojans?
This game right here is a game that we must win. We have to stay inside that rectangle mentally, physically. We can't get consumed with what's going on around us, the outside festivities, any distractions. We have to stay focused on the goal at hand. And, you know, like I told them, I say we have to throw out the records, you know, the records that we have. We have to throw it out in this game, and we have to come in and, you know, we 0-0, and we're trying to get our first win of the season. And in order for us to reach our goal, this is a must-win game for us.
So there's a look at the Northwest Classic, 52nd Northwest Classic tomorrow afternoon.
That was really well done, Gibby. Obviously, Donovan Maslin wants to win it for Reigns. Marlon White probably needs to win it for Rebalt. They need something positive to happen. Rebalt's played a very tough schedule. I mean, they play really good opponents, and they're in a tough district, but clearly not the year that they were hoping for. But man alive, if you beat Reigns tomorrow, that would make up for a lot of wrongs so far this year.
Yeah, certainly not the season that they wanted for Rebalt, but when you have a season like that where your aspirations are pretty much lost for what you wanted to do, the last thing you want to do, the first thing that you want to do at the end of the season is beat your rival, and that's what Rebalt has in front of them. And look, you heard Marlon White talk about his group of seniors have never beaten Reigns.
Yeah, and they would certainly love to go out on a winning note. We'll come back. We'll put a wrap on this week's edition of the Friday Night Lights postgame. We have been presented by Southeast Orthopedic Specialists. There are district championship games, well, all over the place next week. We had district championship games tonight. That continues in 7 days. We'll take an early look at week 10. We'll also recap everything that's transpired tonight. One segment to go. Glad you're with us under the Friday Night Lights here on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
The Friday Night Lights shine bright.
Friday Night Lights.
Presented by Southeast Orthopedic Specialists on 1010XL.
Putting the finishing touches under the Friday Night Lights with Andrew Gibson and RJ Saunders, the hacker Ryan Green with you. RJ, would you like to comment that the Lakers are down by 32 right now to Phoenix? Does that affect you at all?
It affects me greatly. This is disgusting.
87-55. Lakers trying to keep pace with the Magic. Starting 0-2 on the year.
How many threes did
the Knicks? The Knicks hit like 24 threes tonight. It was pretty unbelievable. That's where my sports world is right now. All right, as we wrap up this edition of the Friday Night Lights postgame presented by Southeast Orthopedic Specialist, Gibby, as you take one final look at the scoreboard this week, things that stick out to you about the action we saw tonight.
Well, Bulls lost their first football game of the year 14-7 against a good Gainesville-Buchholz team. Again, you're stepping up in classification if you're Bulls, which is always a tough proposition. But, look, I think they played pretty well. You know, they played a one-score game against a good football team that's now 7-1. So I look at Bulls losing their first game of the year.
The Buchholz game, they may not see a better team than that until probably the state semis
right.
In the 4A classification. No offense to the teams they're going to play in rounds 1, 2, and 3. They're not going to be Gainesville-Buchholz when you play 4A football.
Yeah, certainly not. Bartram Trail winning a district title tonight after their 49-33 win against Oakleaf. Baker County wrapping up a title as well against Ed White. I mean, a handful of programs like that really showing their measure of what they've been able to do all season, and now it's culminating in a district title.
Yeah, Fletcher a district champion, Baker County a district champion, as you mentioned, Bartram Trail a district champion. Next week, couple more district championship games. St. Augustine and Gainesville, that is for a district title. You also have Clay, North Marion. That will be for a district title. And as we mentioned, Gibby, a game like Fleming Island and Nice, not necessarily for a district championship, but that is a game to keep your postseason hopes alive.
Yeah, and for those that also don't know, most of the games, if not all the games, are on Thursday. Is that correct?
All the Duval County games.
Okay, that's right.
St. John's County, Clay County, all should still be on Friday. But most Duval County games are on Thursday.
Yeah, because of Florida-Georgia next week. So, and if you're in Jacksonville, you're from Jacksonville, you most of the time know that. That's the annual tradition, Florida-Georgia week. The Duval County schools play on Thursday.
Hard to believe this week, no Gator football. We have no Jaguar football. Interesting how the schedule worked out where the Gators are on a bye and the Jaguars are on a bye. So I'm off to a couple of pumpkin patches with my son. He loves them, so it's a honeydew weekend. Still going to watch. I mean, LSU, Ole Miss, Miami, NC State. Obviously, there are some games tomorrow. But without the Gators, without the Jaguars, it's kind of a weekend. Whatever chores you need to do around the house or whatever you need to do, do it. Because after this weekend, the Jaguars play 11 consecutive times.
Yeah, it's interesting what Trevor Lawrence said. You know, we're on a bye week, and then next week we start an 11-game stretch. He's like, I've already played a full college season by that point.
Yeah, so it's going to be a grind. There is no question about that. Gibby, I enjoyed it. We'll do it again next week.
Yes, sir. Always fun.
That is Andrew Gibson. R.J. Saunders produced it. R.J. Saunders called numerous head coaches and got them on, and we certainly appreciate his work as always. Jacksonville, I'm the Hacker Ryan Green. Thank you for listening to the Southeast Orthopedic Specialist Friday Night Lights postgame. Have a terrific weekend, and we will talk to you next Friday when more district championships are up for grabs. Good night, everybody. I can't get no relief.